Welcome to Innovator Insights from Idea to Impact. I am your host, Henrik Johansson. I am the CEO and one of the founders of Gemba. Gemba helps entrepreneurs and companies to turn their great ideas into awesome new consumer products. Please stay to the end of the podcast and you'll learn how you can be our next guest on Innovator Insights from Idea to Impact. Let's do it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Innovator Insights podcast. This is the podcast where we interview successful consumer product entrepreneurs, learn more about their story and how they went from that initial idea to finally having a product and an impact on the world. And today we're super excited to have Sarah Westerfeld with us. She's the co-founder of Grander Bags and actually, proud to say, a Gemba customer. So without further ado, Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be here representing Grandeur. So here we go.
Yes. Super excited. Both Sarah and I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn, I think, and it's exciting to follow all your progress and all the great feedback. So love to talk more about that and your approach to social marketing, social commerce. But before we go there, please tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, where do you live? What do you do when you're not working? Family, yes. Pets, stuff like that.
All the things, yeah. So again, Sarah Westerfeld. I'm based out of Chicago suburbs, so Chicago, Illinois, out in Geneva. And from a work background, I spent 16 plus years in enterprise sales, mostly in like the health tech space, and it was awesome. But I've always been crazy drawn to startups and done everything from like genetic testing startups to music type startups, apps. So really excited to talk about Grandeur. But personally, I'm a wife and a mother. I have three kids. They are 8, 6, and 5, and they are literally my inspiration. And I think when you become a mom, you just, time management is amazing. You just have no choice but to get it done. And we're a big outdoor family, golf, tennis. We love to be on the boat in the summer. Really looking forward to summer after a cold Chicago winter. And we put God first and run the family. And then how blessed am I that I get to now be a part of this really cool business.
That's awesome. And you mentioned mom first, and that was part of the inspiration of the bag. Is that right? That was sort of your origin story?
Yes. So Kate Klimek and I were the two co-founders, and she's one of my nearest and dearest friends for about 5 years now. Our daughters actually picked each other at preschool. And I just had my last baby, and I was just happy I showered that day and, you know, was able to make it to school. One of those days as a mom. And she came up to me and was like, I think our daughters are going to be friends. We should be. Then it got a little crazy. A couple weeks later, she's like, are you a Kappa Kappa Gamma? And I was like, I am. I went to Arizona. She went to Butler. Churned down a couple years later. She is one of those women that has incredible ideas. And she kept telling me, look at me, we look ridiculous. We're carrying around wine totes to soccer practice, to ballet with water bottles in it. And we're like getting judged. Probably shouldn't have this wine bag on the sidelines. And we've got 10 bags as moms. And we're not Mary Poppins. We can't just go in there and pop things out. So she was telling me, she's like, I got this idea. And I'm like, we got to do this. I need to have this bag. We are the customer. We need to have this bag. So we tell our husbands about it and they're like, yeah, gals, do it. I don't think they really thought we were going to do it. But that night I went into GoDaddy and I bought every domain I could, because she even told me Grandeur in French means to grow. And I just have this vision of different types of products for women that will help us grow our families. And it just hit. And I was just like, okay, we got to do this. So thus Grandeur began.
Yeah, that's amazing. And when you say, I need this bag, talk to a little bit about what was it that other bags didn't do that you had this insight that this is what's needed?
So our first product is a quote unquote traditional tote bag. And most women, especially in the demographic we're selling to, have on average 11 different bags from your purchases, your satchels, your backpacks, your diaper bag. A lot of them have the same problems. It was so cool. I love the market research. After we interviewed 340 women, they came back with the same 17 issues. bag was tipping. There's not enough pockets. In the pockets, there's not enough space. Everything gets lost. If something spills, I can't wash it. I could go on and on. Those were some of the main ones, though, where we were like, no, we need dividers. So we literally did like that classic wine tote divider in the middle of the bag so that you can put water bottles, you can put your coffee cup, you can put wipes, put your first aid kit, put all the things. And most of us carry a separate little bag for ourselves, put that in the side. So even when you're driving, you're not digging. There's actually a straight compartment you can put your hand in without looking. And so that was how we were thinking about it was, and Kate is so meticulous. Her background, she's a doctor of pharmacy. I couldn't build this bag. I got to watch her do it from make it from construction, like literally graph paper to construction paper to then go into the tech pack. It's awesome.
That's great. And so let's tell me more about that. You talked to 340 potential customers.
Yes.
Tell us more about that. At what stage did you do that, and how did you do it?
Yeah, so as Kate was, and this is only a year ago now, like we moved fast. So we were doing this, she was like, I said, you get in your office, you design, go do that. I'm gonna handle finding Gemba. I'm gonna handle all of these different pieces. I'm a traditional, I love hunting. I love the hunt. And so, and being as a part of different startups and working, you work in so many different capacities. You know, you're the CEO to the janitor when you're in startups. And so, you know, as you know. And so I was like, right away, we're gonna reach out to our closest friends. And I just felt that the time in my life, LinkedIn has been a big part of it. I am connected to so many people. And in the health space, it's a lot of HR and CFOs. And over time, I've just connected with so many female founders in particular, and I'm just not afraid to reach out. So you just rip the Band-Aid and you just started. I mean, day one, I was reaching out to women saying, thoughts, ideas, what do you got? Tell me what bags you had. I mean, half of us had the same Bog bag, Kate Spade bag, Longchamp's bag. I mean, it was so fun. Just because, like, the coolest part about this, too, is like, even if we didn't sell another bag, Kate and I use this every day. Like, this was made for us. So we were like, duh, it's us. We're the client. And we know there's so many of us out there dealing with the same issues. But yeah, we ripped the Band-Aid right away and reached out to all these women. And then I have fun in my color-coded spreadsheets, putting everything together, you know. Because you do dive down. There's the whole aspect. It's like, well, you got the mom group, then you got kind of our sorority group, then you've got the grandmas. So looking at the different demographics too, where that is, but that's a pivot and you do over time. Like our biggest sales was actually just Mother's Day. Holy
Oh, really?
smokes. Yeah, it
Well,
was
that's awesome.
awesome. But you know, we didn't know that going in. We had an idea. It was like women, what age group? We had, and then you just kind of narrow down the focus.
That's awesome. And all these interviews, did you actually do them in Zoom or in person or
Great
combination?
question. There were more than half were like text messages, sent us a quick note back, LinkedIn messaged me. But then I did 35 that were in person and I was like, dump out your bag. And we all were like, and I was doing it with them. And I have some funny videos on LinkedIn of me like, I don't know, there's like a rogue cleat in there. I don't know why. Oh, gross snack bars. Like it, you just. And it was just really fun, a fun process. We had a couple nights where we were like, grab a glass of wine and let's talk about our totes. Just
Tote
trying to be
talks.
clever.
I mean, that's and I think sometimes I see that a lot in sort of people that just sell on Amazon or they kind of come in with, I'm gonna create a SKU and a product and I'm gonna sell it, and they don't really have a clear picture of who their ICP is, who's their ideal customer profile is. And I think that's so beautiful what you guys, it was super clear from day one.
Day one.
You can see that.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's a testament to just, I've had so many incredible mentors throughout my career and learned so much. But then Kate and I, as a team, what I love is just, I'm able to tell you my strengths. I can also tell you my weaknesses. She can do the same. So you're able to bounce back and forth and be, and then we just, then you just build. You get excited. And our husbands are like, you guys, how do you understand each other? You just talk at each other. I'm like, no. We're on it. We're moving fast. But that, it's been really fun because her background wasn't in sales. And I just, for years in different companies, wasn't able to use my real voice because it's someone else's voice. It's someone else's company and someone else's vision. So now for the first time, I'm able to really be like, hey, I have done thousands of campaigns. Let me tell you what worked, what didn't. Yeah. And it's crazy, even though like, no, I never sold bags. It's, I mean, I sold fleet leasing at one point in my career. Like sales is still sales. Like you still have the same fundamentals, whether, you know, it's just like a sport. Let's say your free throw's off, we'll get back in the gym and you're just going to do that motion, you know, 100 times. So kind of those basics are what we built it around. So we know we had a really good foundation.
Yeah. It's the same motion, but it feels different, doesn't it, when it's yours?
Yeah. I mean, there's nights like today you're feeling amped. We had a really cool event yesterday. I mean, the ups and downs are wild.
Yeah.
You know, there's days you're like, we've got this, we're rocking it. And then it'll be 2 a.m. and I'm like, oh my gosh, what did we just do? Oh my gosh, we just spent so much money. Because right now it's just Kate and I, like this is, it's just the two of us. We have not taken any money from investors. There's been some opportunities, but we're keeping it, it's us. So it's very raw, it's very exposed.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just keep saying, you gotta give yourself a little grace and space. And I've had some busts and some startups I've worked with, but they're not really busts. I look at them like learnings. And that's kind of where I'm like an eternal optimist. I'm just like, hey, we're going to pray on this. We're going to keep moving forward. And something's going to pop. Like we're going to do something big. And but day at a time.
Yeah. Well, so many great lessons there. I mean, I'd say one, what you just talked about there, the perseverance and the ups and downs. And I think I hear that from every founder, CEO I talk to. You know, it's something that you may not expect when you come from a sort of a regular job and you become an entrepreneur for the first time. There's a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of 3 a.m. in the morning, you wake up sweating and it's like, oh my God, what are we gonna do about this?
Yeah.
I mean, they're highs and lows.
Pardon me. Yeah, I'm really fortunate. I have one of my brothers was in the startup world out in LA for a long time with Bag, like a dog walking thing. And then he did his own thing with music. And I was really integral in helping him get to where he needed to be. So I got to work on the investment parts. I got to see him every day with the struggles and the pitfalls. And because there's so much that founders, you feel super alone. And through that experience, huge grateful to the Irish Angels. It's a Notre Dame network that have been such great mentors. Like I think finding the right mentors, also Glenn Argenbrike, he's at Equate Capital. Like there's just, I've surrounded myself with such good individuals who have coached me through this, that this journey in particular, it's like, you're never ready, but you just gotta, like I said earlier, rip the Band-Aid and go for it. And you know, that helps it not be as lonely. And I do a lot of reach out on LinkedIn, a lot of founders. I'm like, hit me up. I know you feel alone. Sometimes I need to pick me up too. Like, let's talk. And then you realize we're all struggling with the same things, but you also can learn from each other and know like you're not alone and you're doing something so cool.
Yeah, that's great. And another thing I want to highlight that you mentioned is, you know, picking the right co-founder. It is so, so important. I mean, I've been to so many, you know, I'm always part of some kind of CEO forum or group. And I'd say that is the most common problem or issue that comes up is that, you know, if you didn't have the right co-founders or co-founders issue, or you grow apart as the company grows. And the fact that you've found someone that has complementary skill sets, and it sounds like you kind of finish each other's sentences. That's a beautiful thing.
Thank you. I wouldn't have done this at this point in my career if it wasn't, because I have chosen poorly. Again, they were all learnings, but you do look back and you were like, oh my goodness, holy smokes. Mm-hmm. And I think both of us were just such a growth mindset. Not just, the thing is, it's like not just growth of like Grandeur and selling bags. It's the growth of who I am as an individual. And we're really big into, if I can make a 1% improvement on who I am every day. And again, it's not just the company, it's with our kids. I mean, we put our families first and we do not run like a traditional startup. We can't, we don't have the capacity to do that. I mean, pickups at 2:30, like that's it, man. Like I'll get back online later. So that's what's really cool too, is we're so in the same space of with our husbands and our kids and everything that we're doing. It's I mean, I had to call her last week and I was like, I got to pick up Abigail. She's got strep. Then I was like, I got to pick up Sybil. She threw up. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Like there's just a whole nother layer, but it's just really guided us and put us into perspective of like how we can be empathetic and continue to grow and not be. And that was a tough part for me coming from high level enterprise sales was like the structures, the quota, the this, how many phone calls did you make? To being like, hey, we can be in control, but do this on our schedule.
Yeah. And the grace and the flexibility and maturity to be able to see that, that to have your priorities straight and then give each other the space that's needed to do what's very most important before you do this.
Yeah.
But it also seems to, it fits perfectly with the brand too, right? You are moms, you're going through, you're living the dream, you're living the life.
Yes.
Of the person that needs this bag.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been just so cool. And Kate always says this, people get the bag, they get it. But then when they actually have it, it's been so awesome. I mean, we'll have gals that were like, oh, I just went to my bar class. And five gals came up to me and were like, where'd you get that? That's an organized bag. And so we really have some cool focuses on, you know, a couple different areas. Regionally, we are moving hot. We were just in a really cool feature for like our Tri-Cities area. There's just so much happening regionally. And I've been working with Kate to explain that. Cause again, with my background, I'm like, she is Miss Geneva. People know her. People know her beautiful family. I'm like, let's go for it. But then we're also focusing on, I do a huge national push, which takes more time again on enterprise. And it's really fun. We're focused on like the sorority piece will be in our sororities magazine in a week, the national one.
Oh, that's great.
Super exciting. And then the other piece that we're super excited about, because we do love wine for real, is partnerships. And we just partnered with a winery that's going to be like, we're their wine bag now, and they've got their logo on it. And if you're part of their wine club, you get 10% off with your Grandeur bag. So really thinking about, because we are the brand. And Kate and I are the ones going to this winery. So we were like, you should have our bag. So we're just really being thoughtful to create it around how our lives are. And then from that, it's just kind of like we're doing it with like such goodwill and intention. And we really do believe that's the best way to build this brand.
Yeah. Yeah. In some ways, I think it's the only way to build a great brand, you know, to be present. I think it's super smart what you did. You have grand goals and you want to go national, maybe global, but to start local, I think is so smart because you get to talk to the store owners and be in the golf shop or whatever it is and get real time, real life feedback at the yoga place or whatever it is.
I mean, our bag fits a pickleball set that when we did that on purpose, like it's blowing up. So even just calling those pickleball clubs and to your point, the golf shops, we had a meeting yesterday with about 15 different groups that are going to be considering, you know, how do we do this? And we're also eliminating the risk. And I definitely want to talk about Gemba though, and our partnership there, because that was so cool to experience, but we don't want to do the logos. You guys can buy the bags, but do your own logo. That's like, again, so being thoughtful around that and eliminating, not that it's a risk, but like you guys get the bags, decide what colors you want, and then, you know, go from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk a little more about the product development journey. So it sounds like you guys move fast, right? From idea to finished product very quickly. Yes. Can you walk us through sort of what were the steps there?
Yeah. So again, you know, the timing of it was just wild. We were both just ready for it. And when I literally the night I bought like all these domain names, I was like, okay, next step, you get in there and design, like make it perfect. And I was like, my next step, I was looking for someone like you guys. I was like, we have to figure out and tech pack. So my, let's call it my starter kit was going into GoDaddy, going into Canva, going into looking for Gemba, working with Fiverr. And then knowing that we were going to do Kickstarter, I knew those were like the things I needed to get going right away to start building the brand. So I was building the brand from like a branding logo perspective, looking for someone from Fiverr to start all of that process. Cause we already knew we had that vision board. We knew that. Then it was, Kickstarter we knew was going to be coming in November. But from a Gemba perspective, I spent 2 weeks looking for different groups. I spoke with about, I think I spoke with 11, 12 different groups. And then after those calls, again, I used my network, but it was my one of my sisters. So one of my sisters was a fashion designer in New York for 13 years, and she still lives in Manhattan. Now she sells Adobe, which is so fascinating because she was designing off Adobe, and now she sells the product she was designing off of. I digress, but she saved us probably 3 years off our life.
Oh, wow.
Talking to us about what countries to have it built in, where to go. When I showed Gemba, she even was like, this is one of your top three, how they're thinking about it, how they're going to build this product, I loved that I knew I could reach out to your team members and they would respond quickly. Mm-hmm. There was an AI chat. It was human contact and direct. Like, we need that. Like, you have to know me and Kate. Mm-hmm. You have to know Kate and I. And because that human connection is number one for us. Mm-hmm. If we don't have that with the vendor we're working with, like, it's, we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So, then we had our first couple calls, and I am not shy. So I literally reached out to, you know, Hillary Black and team and was like, no, I want to meet with all of you before we do this. Did it. And we then went to Fiverr. They created our tech pack. That gal was awesome. Shared it with them. And then we were like, no, there are no changes. This is what we want. And so it was really fun. We moved quickly, and we were like, we did start with the don'ts. And it's a lot of times like, it's like, this is how I view it. It's like every day you got to make dinner or and you ask your husband, you're like, instead of what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
What don't you want? So that's kind of how Kate and I, tell me something. You don't want burgers? Great. You don't want pizza? Yeah. Okay. So that was kind of how we viewed this. We were like, hey, for us personally, we did not want to have the product out of China or out of India. So we went through and we're like, oh, wow. Okay. It's Vietnam and Korea. That is the fabric we want. We wanted it to be and you guys did amazing. You also moved quickly and found us facilities. We worked with the facilities and talked with them. We wanted them to have like military grade products because it was really important. Our bag is beautiful, but it is functional. I mean, that thing can't rip, it can't tear, it can go in the wash. Like,
it's got
to hold really
six wine bottles.
That's right, baby. Like, so that process, we pressed. You know, we put your team, you know, we put them under the fire or over the fire, however you want to say it. But the relationships, like, they like working with us. We like working with them. And so that's when you want to collaborate and do good things.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, thanks for saying that. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
This is a dream come true for us too. We love working with entrepreneurs and help them turn ideas into awesome new products. So it's so exciting to follow your journey. I'm sure our listeners are eager to learn, what did you do once you had the products are defined? It's, you know, now you're starting to see the path. The product's going to arrive at a certain date. How did you think about the months leading up to the launch and then after the launch from a marketing perspective?
I love it. So before the marketing perspective, so there were like two sides. I was managing the marketing, and Kate was managing the production. It took us four tries to get the golden sample, which we think is pretty good. Could have been a lot worse. But that was awesome to see that happening. So as the production was happening, though, we had strong goals. We went in and we were like, we want this product at least the first part of it by December, which gave us like 6 months. So we moved fast.
Yeah.
But in those 6 months, I really I did a lot of talking with my mentors and my advisors and just was like, what's our best path? And we all agreed Kickstarter. So it was a lot of building around there and using my different socials, but also like I made phone calls to like friends I never thought I would have like connected with, you know, had it been for this, and just started sharing our real story. And so for us, like everything I'm talking about today, I just story told and was like, Kate's amazing. This idea is incredible. I cannot believe we're doing this, but we're really doing it. You're going to love it. I know you had your second baby. So it was just real and authentic and calling everyone and doing these touch points and saying, look out for us, subscribe to our newsletter. kind of just preemptively, like, we would tease people with showing part of the tech pack, showing what it was on construction paper, like just sharing the real journey of what our house looked like. Cause we were going to, I mean, I'm in my room right now. Like, we're, it's not, you know, it's not traditional. I'm not in an office. Like, half the time, oh my gosh, we met with a manufacturing, like a production group here, just cause we were trying to learn everything we could. Brought a baby to a meeting and, you know, we posted about that. So a lot of the marketing was just around our real story. And I think in 2026 and moving forward, there's so much, you know, AI and there's just such big companies, but I think so many of us are drawn to human interaction. And COVID really screwed that up for a lot of us for a long time. And I think we really, really want that back. And we're missing that community. And so that was from a marketing perspective, it was real and authentic. And then we didn't even have our bags when we started the Kickstarter campaign. So that was just like a good show of faith, and it was really cool. We hit our goal in 6 hours of being open on the platform.
Wow, that's awesome.
So yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. And it was just, you know, people, I didn't expect, and that's a cool thing about founders I don't think we talk about. Sometimes it's the people closest to you that you don't get the support from. And then it's like this whole other group of people that you're like, no way. I had no idea I impacted them with that story. So, you know, a lot of moving parts, but most of it was just straight authenticity and just sharing the real story of how we were building this.
Yeah. That's so great. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. 100%. And first COVID and now AI slop everywhere. And
everywhere.
Faceless sellers online. And I think people ultimately want to buy from other people. They want to know what does this company stand for, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we're created as humans, you know, for community. Mm-hmm. And to find, you know, your right team. And it, I always try to keep it light and fun, even when you do have the dark moments, because it's like, no, we're meant to do this, like as human beings, as be creative, work together, and you know, persevere through the tough stuff.
Yeah. And to your comment about support coming from unexpected places, and you know, sometimes, like you said, your family, they're protective of you. They don't want you to get it hurt. You know, so I see that a lot too. That family may not be your best supporters initially, even though they're essential for your support network and your group to be there. But
for me personally, so the biggest change for me was I left my corporate job. Some people would think I'm nuts. Some did. They were like, oh my gosh, but you were VP, you were this, da, da, da. I wasn't fulfilled. And I knew if I was going to do Grandeur, I needed to do it. And then it was crazy because I left that and I felt like I had lost that like corporate support. It was kind of like an identity crisis. I was like, what did I just do? I've been doing this corporate, blah, and now I'm this. And then people would be like, oh, are you going to be at farmers markets? And I'd be like, that's not what I'm trying to do with Grandeur. So it was such a mind, man, it messed with my mind for like a while. It was probably like a full year before I was like, I need to unpack everything I've been holding on to and everything I'm thinking. And again, I think that goes to founders. Like, we need to talk to each other and you're not alone, because it's such a mind shift. And then you like get offended. Like when people are like farmers markets, I'm like, I'm not going to a farmers market. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, but I don't mean anything against individuals that are doing that. So it's just been it's been a wild ride to figure out, like, in my own mental state, where am I at? Who do I talk to? Who fills my cup versus not?
Yeah.
You know, while I'm doing this.
And then, like you said, to the power of your network, you know, you have, you know, many years in corporate world, and you know, I have a couple of decades in startups, and you know, sometimes you forget how much people you actually know and that are excited if you reconnect with them, even if it was 5 years ago or 8 years ago. You're like, hey, long time no see.
It's,
let's reconnect. And most people are excited and happy to do that.
Yeah, and I think just a huge testament is to, truly to my family and the way, I grew up. And my grandfather started his own business. He came over from Czechoslovakia at the time. And there's just such pride and just such, you don't burn bridges. It's trust and integrity. And there's so much of that that can be lost. And so to stay true to that is something that we, Kate and I really focus on. And through that, it's been so cool, to your point, that I did just have someone yesterday on LinkedIn be like, no way, you're a founder now. I knew you would be. And I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't talked to you in 5 years. And we're going to connect and have a call tomorrow. And I keep those doors open, the good ones. You're not supposed to open the bad doors, but there's these relationships. Sometimes we do, I talk about this a lot. When I'm preparing for something, I take a lot of notes. Still write in cursive, but yeah. You prepare for, okay, any question that I could get asked, what's my answer for this? Okay, then if they go this way, what's my answer for this? And you build it up in your mind. And then when you actually ask or actually have the conversation, usually it's just great. Yeah. And you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. I really worked that up to be something crazier than it was. Yeah. And so I say that because with Grandeur and how we're building it, we move fast. We don't overthink it. There's things we're learning, but then you pivot and it's okay. And you don't stay down on yourself if you made a mistake. I mean, man, the first 10 gals, the first influencers we sent bags to, half of them, we were like, oh, we chose poorly. We liked them a lot, but they didn't do a good job for us. But we were like, oh, we didn't think through this, and this. But again, instead of taking it like, oh, well, that sucked, it was like, no, we're going to pivot and just do better next time.
Yeah. It's so important. They say that a lot of sports athletes, quarterbacks in football particularly, you got to have really short-term memory. And, if you mess something up, that's a learning, and inevitably you're going to run into problems. And I think successful founders, they just view problems as opportunities. Like you said, you can't get bogged down and say, oh, bummer, this didn't work. It's like, oh, great, this didn't work. Now we have an opportunity to figure out how to do it better.
There's been a couple moments, we're so resilient in different ways where I'll start laughing and Kate's like, why are you laughing about this? This is detrimental. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no, this is hilarious. Like something as silly as, I sent out a campaign once and on accident, it wasn't to a lot of people, but I put their last name first and it was like, hey, Westerfeld or whatever. And I was like, oh my I just sound like an idiot, but you just kind of view it lighthearted, and I do think that's helped. That's been a big reason why people are starting to follow us. Is the comments are, oh my gosh, you are authentic and real. Oh, you're real, yeah. And Kate built something really cool, and I want to bring it to life because I know you will use this product. Mm-hmm. That's just so fun, and you can't always say that when you're selling stuff. And once you lose that passion for it, that's for me when I was like, oh my gosh, this is something I'm so passionate about. I was like, we have to do this.
Yeah. Fantastic. So what's ahead? We're in May of 2026 here. What are the plans for the rest of the year? Where do you see Grandeur going? Yes. Don't disclose anything confidential, of course, but I have a grander vision, more products. Right. What's next?
So, well, number one, by the end of summer, I'd like all of the boxes out of my garage. Right now, that's where we're at. We know where we want to go, but we were like, we got to get rid of this first round, then put in our second order. And then we do have our second product it's designed. We want to place that order by the end of summer too. So the two big goals from that perspective is, everything we had ordered originally, we went out the door, put in the next round, and then put in the second bag, which is great. So that's kind of like that next 6 months, 6 to 12 months. But then big goals. For those that know Bog Bag or Hulken, two awesome brands and amazing female founders. I respect them and love them so much and have followed them for years. I want to do, Bog did it in about 8-9 years. Hulken did it in about 5-6. I believe we can do that in about 5 or 6 years, is become This is your utility everyday bag. You are using this. Everyone has one. When you talk about bags, especially with moms, we have the same slew of bags. The Grandier Pret Tote needs to be one of them. So we'll keep, we're going to keep pushing, keep working on it, and really hone in a little bit more on dads too.
Yeah.
It's an easy gift.
I love it. We need bags too.
You guys need bags too, but you also got to buy them for your ladies. So it's, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, we're guerrilla marketing right now, straight up. And, by the end of this year too, we'll consider bumping up that marketing spend, but I still believe we have quite a bit of runway for that, like low hanging fruit guerrilla marketing. We have not tapped into it. And I have made the mistake in the past with some other founders where you just really think, I need that SEO. I need this. We're going to spend money here. And then it falls flat. So I'm like, no, we're going to keep rolling with our guerrilla style.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing a great job. I saw you had the founder of Dude Wipes.
Oh,
was that a collab, or did you send him a free sample? How did that happen?
No, oh my gosh. First of all, Dude Wipes, Sean Riley, if you're not following him, everyone out there, you should. He's hilarious and good family man, amazing. So he's in the Chicago area, and I always knew this, and I've been following him for years. But again, I'm not shy. I just hit him up. I was like, I want a competition. How many Dude Wipes can you fit in your bag versus how many I can? That's all I said. And he was doing these posts about trying out new founders and supporting them. And then he messaged me back, and I was like, tell me what color bag your wife wants. Hilarious. So he was like, I can fit 10 bags. And he did the video. And then he was like, wait a second, my wife just did it. She could fit 16. And I'm like, yes, a mom for the win. So yeah, that was just really cool. There's been a couple others, Claire Coder over at AmpFlow. Right now working with a really cool founder out of Atlanta, Camply. It's an app for, really awesome app for moms and dads to go on to help kids with, like, help their sport camps and get everything prepared for the summer. Again, I'm just reaching out on LinkedIn, and it's, at this point, you know, I'm not just throwing stuff on the wall. I've done this enough in my career where it's methodical. These are people I've followed for years. Every touch point is like a, holy smokes, your last post was hilarious. I love, you know, whatever. I take a lot of from my book from Sarah Blakely, who did Spanx and now Sneaks. She's like totally my top role model for this, and did it from literally her own $5,000. And that's like Kate and I. It's like, we looked at our husbands, we're like, you guys invest in stuff every day. Now it's time to take a, you're investing in us. So yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That's great. All right, we're at time here. Before we wrap up, can you give any advice to, we have a lot of listeners that either want to be entrepreneurs or just starting out. What are some of the key things you would share with them?
I mean, number one, just take a deep breath. You know, it's if it's something you're passionate about, you can do it. Number two, don't be scared to reach out. Like, not just to me, but to anybody and ask questions. I just really think there's no dumb questions. You don't know what you don't know. And then number three, you're going to have to pivot, and that's okay. Like, that's totally okay. Like, pivot is the name of the game. Cause, and I think the last, like, fourth and final is just like, when you, if and when you do get discouraged, cause you will, just know that, like, this is the dream. This is so cool that we have the ability and the ideas, and God gave us this, these awesome gifts, to go and create.
Yeah. That's great advice. I mean, you're doing so many things right. I love what you said about really understanding your customer, you know, picking the right founders, huge. Working with mentors, and the guerrilla marketing that you're doing. So many great lessons. Sarah, thank you so much for taking time, and best of luck in what's ahead.
Absolutely. Well, have a great week, and thanks for having me.
Thank you. All righty. This is Henrik Johansson again. Thank you so much for listening to Innovator Insights from Idea to Impact. If you are a successful product entrepreneur, or you work in a company that creates new products, and you have an interesting story about how you developed your product and brought it to market, and you would like to be on this podcast, please go to gemba.com and click on podcast, and you can fill out an application to be on the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. If you liked this podcast, you enjoyed this interview, and we would greatly appreciate if you would share it on social media. You can just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on socials. If you know anyone that you think would be a great guest, please tag them on social media and let them know about the show, and include the hashtag Innovator Insights. And would love to see your posts and any suggestions you have to guests. That's how we find most of our guests, from suggestion from other listeners. We're regularly putting out new episodes and new content to make sure you don't miss any episodes. Please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and to me and the team. We really appreciate it. Do you want to know more about Gemba, me, or the podcast? Please go to gemba.com and click on podcast, or you can follow me on LinkedIn. That's where I do most of my posts. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Have a great day.